Proverbs chapter number 4. We'll look at just one verse this evening. And I said it this morning and it went a little bit longer than I thought, but I won't keep you long this evening. I just have a thought that's on my heart, and we'll get read it and try to expound a few minutes and move on. Proverbs chapter 4, and look at, if you will, verse number 26. Proverbs 4:26. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I want to preach for a few minutes this evening on the subject, you better watch where you're going. Or ponder before you wander. There are some things in the Christian life that we must look at and watch. And the wisest man to ever live is giving us instruction and letting us know there are things that we must watch for and ponder the path of our feet, the way that we will travel. And I want to look at that thought for a few minutes this evening. Texting and driving is a serious problem, wouldn't you agree? If you've ever seen a teenager doing that, it'll get your attention. Or it don't have to be a teenager. It can be a 45-year-old man who, and you end up in the ditch and you're trying to recover the vehicle. It don't take long to get off track if you're not paying attention and watching what's going on. And I say this to drivers everywhere, about every time I get in the truck. Hey, man, watch where you're going. People drive like lunatics. And we was coming from somewhere up through Packlet Mills down at the roundabout the other night. And this car come right at us, and I mean hit the middle of that roundabout and went up in there, and I thought, under heaven, they need to watch where they're going. A bunch of blind bats. Watch where you're going. And sometimes I'll say it with passion and conviction. Sometimes I don't sound like the humble little preacher. Well, God bless you. Watch where you're going. Sometimes it's, hey, man, watch where you're going. Crazy nut. Bless you in Jesus' name. No. Crazy people. Sometimes I'll say it with such, I mean, like my life depended on it. Sometimes it does. You have to holler at people. But listen to these words we just read. I'll hit them, a few of them. And listen to the meaning. Ponder. That means just simply to weigh, make level, to balance, or to weigh out, or to make level or smooth, to ponder. Then all thy ways, a way or a road, a distance or a journey, a manner, a path or a direction, a habit or a course of life. Ponder the paths. Listen. Then the word established, that's in the verse we read. Established simply means to be firmly fixed, to be stable, to be secure, to be enduring, to be securely determined. And so the path you're on will eventually become your life's road. It matters where you're traveling. It matters. Listen, I've told my daughters this, and I'm going to tell them again publicly, it matters who you date when you get old enough to date when you're 30. It'll matter. It'll matter who you date when you're 30. It matters who you text and who you talk to. It matters because you shouldn't date a boy. And this is taught not just my children, but to yours. You shouldn't date a person if you're not convinced you can marry them. Because you could get hung up on a road that becomes your life road that you never intended for that to be. And more marriages are ending in divorce because people thought they could just start a relationship and it wasn't ever intended to be that way. Who you are in a relationship with is very important. Amen. Whether that's a friend, a girlfriend, or etc. And so the road we're traveling, it matters where you go to church. It matters where you work. It matters where you go to school. These paths that we're traveling absolutely is part of our life path. It's part of the way we are traveling ultimately. And we should watch and ponder the path that we're on. When was the last time you looked out the window and just did an honest, I mean, maybe even pulled over on the side of the road and did an honest assessment of where you are? Life is so fast. I mean, from one thing to the next, especially in the years we're living, it's just so high pace and moving so fast, it pays to just stop and back up, pull over, and just assess where you are. My question this evening is, do you know where you are? And I'm not talking to crazy people. I'm not saying you don't know who you are and where you are. But I mean, honestly, in life, do you know where you are? It's important that you do, because if you don't know where you are, you don't know how far you are away from where you want to be. You all remember the commercials with the kids asking the parents, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that ain't just on commercials. That is in real life. Daddy, are we there yet? Are we there? Did I tell you we was there? No, we ain't there yet. We're still moving. But we do need to know where we are so we'll know how far and how to adjust to get where we're going. So where are you? How did you get where you are? Do you know that? And these are basic questions. Are you happy with the path that you're on? Are you satisfied? Are you content with where you are in life? That's a very important question. I couldn't be your psychiatrist this evening. That's questions they ask and get paid a lot of money. And I'll come to your house and sit in a chair across from you and let you pay me $150 an hour. Are you satisfied with the plot you're on in life? Explain. But way more than a psychiatrist asking that, that is a very important question for a Christian, for every child of God, every believer, to ask, am I satisfied with my marriage? Am I satisfied with where I am spiritually, financially, physically? Am I satisfied? Emotionally, mentally, it's important. There's some things that we must watch and watch out for in the Christian life. And so I'm going to give you these quickly. Number one, watch where you're going when it comes to your flesh. We better watch where we're going, because in the Christian life, the flesh is there. It's not eradicated. It was not crucified. And so we will contend with it. And we better be on the lookout for it, because it wakes up every time you do. And it salutes you, and it's alive. And Paul deals with it in detail in Romans 6, 7, and 8, and other places. Galatians, how that we must reckon ourselves to be dead and mortify our members, because that flesh is there, and it's a daily dying to self. And if we don't watch for it, it will take hold in our lives, and it will do damage. And so Philippians 3, 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." You better mark that one. If you have confidence in your flesh, you are on dangerous ground. Listen to Romans 7:18. "For I know," this is Paul speaking, "for I know that in me." By the way, if there was ever a man who could have bragged and done a pretty good job and had a pretty good argument for how good he was, it would have been Paul. I believe Paul was probably the greatest Christian ever to walk in shoe leather. I mean, study his life. What a giant of a Christian. But Paul said, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Paul said, "In me, in my flesh, there ain't nothing good to talk about." And in the Christian life, we, on this journey we are traveling, we must keep a lookout, a constant lookout for the flesh. The minute you start in the direction of satisfying and feeding your flesh, you have begun down a path that leads to heartache and pain and misery. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." We shouldn't give place to our flesh, but we also shouldn't give place to the devil. To seed the devil ground is, I mean, that's just forfeiting to him. It's one thing if the devil sneaks up on you and sneaks up on me and lures us and tricks us and lies and deceives. But for him to be sitting there beside us, whispering in our ear, talking and lying, and we allow him to stay and allow him to speak, and we never rebut him. Say, "Well, people think I'm crazy if they see me talking out loud." I would rather people think I'm crazy than to allow the devil to sit on the seat with me and not rebut him. That's one of the Bible. You better learn your enemy and learn how to deal with your enemy. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy you, and so you better learn how to talk to him. Amen. Don't give place to him. Don't let him sit there free. Yeah. And he's going to be there, so watch for him. And the flesh is. That word place just simply means ground, place, any portion of space marked off, as it were, from surrounding space. Look at the text in Proverbs 4, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Listen to this verse, Psalm 101, verse 3. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." You know what that verse says? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. It matters what you look at. The eyes are the windows to the soul. The eyes are a gate that we open up freely. Matter of fact, the eyes are a gate that we say, "Here, child, have the world wide web and open wide." "I don't want to deal with you right now. You're getting on my nerves. Here, take my phone, take a tablet, and get out of my face." And we've let the world raise our children. And I've been guilty, because it is easy. It is easy. But what did the verse just say we read? Psalm 101, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." You say, "Oh, but the internet can be used for good." It absolutely can, and we do. I'm not preaching against. I'm saying we better be careful what we let our eyes latch on to. And before you critique me, you better do your homework and research and find out why all these web developers and all these social media platform gurus that created this stuff, wonder why they don't let their children on it. Amen. Ding, 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 Johnny, we have a winner. Yes, it's that simple. If they won't let their children on it, you probably ought not let yours. Because they know it's addictive. It's as addictive or more so as cocaine. It's proven. The endorphins that are released in the mind because we let the eyes look at it and latch hold to it and give place to it. And it don't start out being wicked. You say, but we didn't put anything wicked before our eyes. No, it starts out cartoons because the devil knows how to lure and hook. And he ain't going to put out neon lights and flashing lights. It's like the devil himself. You'll never see the devil. We're looking for him around each corner like with a big red tail and a pitchfork. You're never going to see the devil looking like that. Why? Because he don't look like that. Read your Bible. It ain't nowhere in there. I mean, matter of fact, if you want to have a better depiction of the devil, he's a beautiful creature. I mean, he can transform himself as an angel of light. He can become anything you want him to be. And so the devil knows how to play dirty, and he's not gonna put his worst out front. No, he's gonna like sin. You men, remember when they would be trying to sell Budweiser or some of them alcohols in years gone by, they would have on the billboards this half-naked woman with sweat dripping off of her and something to grab your eye to make you look and see what they're selling. But he didn't put on the billboard a wrecked home and the domestic abuse report and the hospital visit and the funeral that was planned from the drunk drive. He don't put that out there. Neither does he put on the screen of what we will look at and allow our children to look at, the wicked things that we are teaching and training our eyes and our children's eyes to be able to look at freely. I can feel the resistance. I'll just dare you to do this. Go home tonight and get your child's tablet or phone or whatever we let them look at. And I said, we. And ask that phone, how much screen time has been viewed this week? It'll blow your mind. You know what the average is? It's over 8 hours a day. Over 8 hours a day. And we wonder why Jesus said, will anybody be looking for me when I return? No, everybody's looking like this. And nobody's going to be looking up. It matters what we look at. And we better look out for the flesh and watch where we're going when it comes to our flesh. Galatians 2:20, talking about how to deal with flesh. It's my life's verse. It's my favorite verse in all the Bible. But Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There must be a dying and a mortifying and a killing of the flesh. So watch where you're going when it comes to your flesh. Number two, watch where you're going when it comes to your friends. Amos 3:3, listen to this verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You say, well, they just my friends, but we're going two completely different directions. The only problem with that is it just ain't true. You're going to end up going the same way they're going. Very seldom, and this goes back to boyfriend and girlfriends or friends, period. Very seldom are you going to pull them up out of their debauchery and sin. 9 times out of 10, it's just gravity. If I was to have Stephen come up here, I could pull and pull. He'd just tug at me, and gravity's going to pull me down. And so it matters. It absolutely matters that we watch who our friends are. You can't afford just to be friends with anybody, even at church. Sadly, that's true. Listen to Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down in the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse, my son. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. I remember my mama telling me, I don't want you hanging out with them. I said, you are just being mean. You just being overprotective, mama. They don't mean no harm. I know these. They're my friends. And she said, I don't want you hanging around them. And under heaven, I wish to the Lord I'd have heeded that advice. All the heartache, all the damage that has been done because I did not heed a praying, loving mama's advice. Oh, goodness. It matters who our friends are. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You'll all probably know these verses I'm about to read, or this verse, probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible concerning a friend and the damage that a friend can do. 2 Samuel 13:3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Without preaching that, please hear me. Young person, if one young person tonight will hear and heed their preacher's voice, you better watch and ponder the path that you're walking when it comes to your friends. It will define you. Spiritual people do not enjoy fellowshipping with carnal people. It's as simple as that. If you're spiritual and your heart is to be spiritual and you're going down that path and you're going in that direction, you may be spiritual entering into a friendship, but you won't stay spiritual according on who your friends are. If you have friends that are not spiritual, friends that don't care nothing about the Bible, nothing about church, friends that don't care nothing about following the Lord and serving the Lord, it won't be long. Your spiritual temperature will come down. It's an automatic. It's an automatic. Amen. So please, young person, old person, mama, daddy, if you want to be a real friend to your child, and God help us in these days, we got mamas who want to be more of a friend than a mama. They want to be the cool mom or the cool... They want to live their teenage years over through their child, which is wicked as hell itself. Be a mama. Put away childish things and be a mama. Be a daddy. Be a friend in that way. Be a true friend to your child and teach them and train them that the Word of God matters, that the house of God matters more than the world and what the world can offer.
Amen.
Don't back up on them foundational truths. Don't ever start compromising and say, well, I know, but you got a ball game, or I know, but y'all got this going on at the school. Hey, you better set some boundaries, and then don't budge the boundaries. Don't move the old lunch and marks. You cannot be a friend of the world and be the friend of God at the same time. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't get mad at me. That's what God said. I didn't say it. I just read it and repeated it. But God said it. So we better watch where we're going when it comes to our flesh and our friends. I hesitate to even hit this one, but I'm going to. But we better watch where we're going when it comes to our finances. And I don't deal with that often, but it is important. Finances is one of the things that can be your best friend or your worst enemy. It can be a very powerful tool in the hands of the devil, if not dealt with spiritually and scripturally. I wish I could preach this message to our president and to those nuts in Washington. You cannot spend your way out of poverty. It don't work. It don't add up. It's not economics. It just don't work. And you can't sleep your way out of it either. Listen, there's a lot of ways to make money, but if we don't honor God with our money, listen, if we don't honor God with our money, we're paddling upstream automatically. I've heard people say this, I just can't afford to tithe. No, you can't afford not to tithe. I promise you, my grandpa, he couldn't get this through his thick skull or his hard heart. I'll just tell you the truth. He loved money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen. He couldn't understand or comprehend that you can live way better with 90% of your money with the hand of God blessing it than you can with 100% of your money and God cursing it. I know, physically speaking, I know just mentally trying to work this equation out, 100% seems to be greater than 90. But you are throwing out the variable, which is God, the giver of everything, the creator of everything. The one who can make it rain on your crop. The one who can make your motor last longer. The one who can make everything out of nothing. I wouldn't discount him. I wouldn't discredit him. I would honor him with my money. And let him honor you. Matter of fact, there ain't many places in the Bible where God said, try me. In other words, I D-dog double dare you. Try me. And see if I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out more on you than you can contain. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken, and running over. Yeah. So, God won't bless a God robber. He just won't do it. God won't bless a person that wastes money. Listen, Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So when it's tight, cut back, save money, work together, read books on finances, watch Dave Ramsey. I don't know. Stop blowing money on nonsense. It blow your mind. We're coming up on missions month. If you just calculate and add up and monitor how much money you spend on at the gas station, on Coca-Colas and just, I mean, it adds up so fast. And I know people who have said, I'm going to quit going to the gas station and buying soft drinks and candy bars. Now, you go to the store. I went to buy a candy bar the other day. It was $3. I under heaven. I said, y'all could keep it. I wanted some chocolate, but y'all took my appetite. They paying $3 for a candy bar. Lost y'all's mind. $3. Miss Connie just made me some chocolate oatmeal cookies, then I can get on through the week. But I know people who said, I'm going to quit wasting money at the gas station or here or there and take that money that I normally would spend on Coca-Cola or whatever and give it to missions. And it blew their mind how much money that really was. It's a lot of money. And so, anyway, watch where you're going with your money. The definition of insanity, as you know, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If you're tired of being broke and being in a bind all the time, change. There is a remedy. And by the way, the devil uses financial difficulty to hamstring Christian people. I've been there. I've lived this one. And there is not much more depressing than to always be under the cloud of financial ruin. And you don't have to live that way. Hey, listen, your Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He will slay one and feed you, and He'll take care of you if you'll just honor Him with your finances. Are you a good man? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I sure don't deal with this a lot because I don't want my mom and them to think I'm fishing for an inheritance. But Tommy, I'm just reading the Bible to you. A good man. I don't know how sorry you are, but a good man. Y'all can just pause this for a minute. I'll talk to Tommy. A good man. I'm just kidding. I'm just preaching the Bible to you. I can't help it. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's the Old Testament verse. Here's one from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. At some point, it should sink in, and you should, and I should, we should be able to figure this thing out to where our children ain't having to take care of us. That's backwards. And I'm not talking about physically. I understand the day and hour we're living in when we have to take care of our parents in a physical and mental way, and what a blessing to be able to do that. But financially, it ought not be so that we're having to take care of our parents. It ought to be the other way around. The Bible does not contradict itself. Luke 12 tells us about the rich man that built bigger barns. Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can put God first and honor Him, and He, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Listen, God ain't against you having something. It's been pounded into the believer for a long time that we ought to be poor and needy, and it's just those Pentecostals and those name it and claim it people and preachers, and they have give a lot of preachers a bad name for riding around in their limousines and flying on their jets and saying they can just demand God do this and do that, and God has, and preying on senior citizens and getting their Social Security checks mailed to them. That's wicked as hell itself. Oh, it's wicked. That's wicked. A preacher ain't worth the salt that would do something like that. But God, listen, you don't have to live poor and meagerly. You don't. If you will honor God with your money, God will honor you, and He'll take care of you. I'm not rich compared to what a lot of people think rich are. I'm rich in the world. Compared to the world, and you are too. In America, we're so rich compared to the world. Most of you have a home. Most of you have water running in your home and electricity in your home. Most of you have a vehicle. That right there puts you far ahead of 90% of the world. We're rich and we've been blessed. Amen. Amen. So get out of the molly grubs about how bad God's been to you. No, God's been good to you and me. Tithing won't put you in the poorhouse. Not tithing will. A credit card debt will put you in the poorhouse. Borrowing money to buy everything you want will. Watch where you're going when it comes to finances. Finally, and I'll be done. Watch where you're going when it comes to your flesh, your friends, your finances, and finally your family. Listen to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. I wrote, your marriage is not a self-driving car. And it ain't. You're going to have to adjust and make some turns and some serious adjustments. You better watch where you're going in your marriage. Your children will not automatically grow up and serve God. That ain't an automatic. Please hear that. Please hear that. If you don't, Mom and Daddy, to us who are parenting right now, if you don't leave with nothing tonight, let us all leave with that in our heart. Your children ain't guaranteed to grow up and serve God. No, it's up to us as parents who love the Lord to make sure that we pass that to them and that they see that more than just our lips, but in our life. More than just on Sunday at church, but at the house Monday through Saturday. Amen. Amen. Well, Dad, you will not just automatically become the spiritual leader. No, it requires work and watching out where you're going and on purpose living the life. Mom, you will not just automatically be the submissive, spiritual, supportive wife. It takes work. Kids, you will not just automatically be obedient. And all God's parents said, amen, that's right. Kids, you will not just automatically be respectful and reserved. No. You'll be automatically be rebellious and hellions. Need the devil beat out of you. Everybody in the house needs to watch where you're going. Everybody. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. We better watch what we're doing. We better just not be with the mentality, bless God, I'm right, and they just get over it. No, we better be careful and be balanced. And not be overbearing and overboard and just pushing. Oh, no, we better watch where we're going. The same is true with mamas and children. What kind of family do you want? What kind of home life do you want? What kind of marriage do you want? Are you satisfied with your marriage? You can be. You can be. Watch where you're going. Single people, listen. You can't date sinners and expect a marriage that is made in heaven. You better watch where you're going. If they're not spiritual now, don't think, well, when I marry them, they're going to transform into it. No, no, no. You're going to live on hell on earth. And your dreams are going to be shattered. And all that you had built into marriage and dreamed about will be shattered. And it'll be rubble and ruin. Whatever standard, whatever you want them to be in the marriage, you better mandate them to be in the relationship prior to marriage. If they don't love their Bible, if they don't read their Bible, if they don't pray, if they don't love going to church, what makes you think getting married's going to fix that? It ain't. It ain't. Well, you come from a broken home, you can break that cycle. You can. But it's going to require you watching where you're going and not just repeating what mom and daddy did. Watch where you're going. You can't raise in the home. We got to watch where we're going when we come, just in communication. You know how easy it is? And I mean this. I fail at this probably more than a lot. And I used to be worse. I used to be way easier to raise my voice. Now, and to dial into every conversation. Now, I'll just hush and back up and be quiet. Not all the time. I still have flesh that I have to watch myself. But our children hear us. They hear through the walls. I mean, they hear y'all when y'all do that. Y'all wicked devils. I've said this before. Me and Jenny don't fuss. We just talk. Sometimes at higher altitudes. Somebody cuts the volume up. No, but seriously, our children hear that. And we better watch that because we are training them to be that. I don't want none of my daughters being a thorn in the flesh of a husband one day because they were raised to be that way. No, God forbid, I don't want that. It's going to take all the grace and prayer and help that God can give any marriage in this day and hour to stay together. Amen. And so, I don't know what kind of home you want, but I want a home that's got the blessing of God on it. It's got the touch of God on it. The Bible says in Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man and then will spoil his house. Hey, Daddy, husband, it's your responsibility. I talked to somebody this morning personally about this. It's our responsibility to be the head of our home. And God created the woman as a weaker vessel, and it's a wicked shame for us men to expect our wife to do all the heavy lifting and to carry the spiritual burden of the home, make sure the kids are at church. Hey, won't you bring them? God bless you. Why don't you bring your children to church? Why don't you live a life in front of them that shows them it matters more than your job, more than your business, more than your hobby? I mean, deer season's coming up, but y'all ain't about to be put an MIA, missing in action, the preacher. Where'd he go? Well, it's deer season. He's probably in a tree. No. Why? I love to deer hunt, but I'm not going to. I don't put a higher premium and priority on deer hunting than I do preaching and being in God's house. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd be just as faithful to church because it is a priority, a purpose in my heart. There's some things that will slide and move around in my Christian life, but church ain't one of them. Amen. When I feel good, when I don't. When I feel spiritual, when I don't. When I feel like I failed the Lord or not, I'm coming to church because when I'm down, He will lift me, and when I need help, He will fill me and feed me, and I'm coming to church by the grace of God. And some of you need to get that back in your heart. Amen. Amen. It matters. It matters. Absolutely matters. I don't know what happened in this generation, except for what Jesus said, that there would be a great falling away and men's heart would wax cold. Listen, people who were borderline spiritual used to not even think about missing church. On a Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's like an automatic given. These days, you're just going to have an automatic fall off from Sunday morning to Sunday night. It used to not be that way. You used to have your church, and when church was open, the church was there. Now it's like, take it or leave it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Hey, if you're faithful to this church, I want to tell you, I appreciate it. Hey, some of you, I don't even have to look to see if you're there. And if I look and see you not there, it won't be long, and I'll be on my phone asking, where are you at? Is everything all right? You should have that kind of testimony. Amen. I'll close with this verse. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So ponder the path that you're on. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, apply it to our hearts. Help us to take it, Lord, and hear it and heed it. Not just be hearers only, but heed your word and put it in shoe leather, God, and walk in it. Help us all to leave here tonight watching where we're going, looking and pondering the path that we're walking. I pray you'd help us all do a real assessment tonight and see where we really are, see if we're satisfied, God, with where we are in our marriages, Lord, in our homes, in our churches, in our spirituality, Lord, with our friends, our finances, in our faith, Lord. Have your will and way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need this altar, we won't have a piano playing tonight, but if